श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी जी के नाम में नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी और रानी के साथ विशेष शून्यवाणी सत्य देश श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवा कवि गोविंद भक्त वृंद
हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
They asked me to speak on one thing and they've given me a verse on another thing, but I am very much equipped to say what I want to say through any verse. Not cheating exactly.
Sanjaya Uvacha
Nahum Veda Yavatitam
Mitro
Va Mula Mandana
Kantarya
Va
Mahabaho
Mushito
Mahatmadi.
It's okay. Sanjaya Uvacha Naham Veda Vyavastitam Pitror Vakulanandana Gandharya Vamabaho Ushitosmi Mahatmadi Sanjayu Vacha Aham Veda Vyavasitam Pitrur Vakulunandana Kandaya Vamabaho Ushitosmi Mahatmavi Sanjaya Uvacha Aham Veda Vyavasitam Mitrol Vakulunandana Kandaya Vamabaho Ushitosmi Mahatmavi Sanjaya Uvacha. Sanjaya said,
I
Veda
know
Vyavasitam,
determination,
Mitro,
of your uncles,
Va,
your
Kulanandana,
O descendant of the Kuru dynasty,
Gandharya,
of Gandhari,
Va,
or
Mahabaho,
O great king,
Mushitaha,
cheated,
Asmi,
I have been
Mahatmadi,
by those great souls.
Sanjoy said,
my dear
descendant of the Kuru dynasty,
I have no information
of the determination of your two uncles
and Gandhari.
O King, I have been cheated by those great souls.
I've just repeated myself.
Sanjoy said, my dear descendant of the Kuru dynasty, I have no information of the determination of your two uncles and Gandhari. O King, I have been cheated by those great souls. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. That great souls cheat others may be astonishing to know, but it is a fact that great souls cheat others for a great cause. It is said that Lord Krishna also advised Yudhishthira to tell a lie before Dronacharya, and it was also for a great cause. The Lord wanted it, and therefore it was a great cause. Satisfaction of the Lord is the criterion of one who is bona fide. And the highest perfection of life is to satisfy the Lord by one's occupational duty. That is the verdict of Gita and Bhagavata. Dhritarashtra and Vidura, followed by Gandhari, did not disclose their determination to Sanjay, although he was constantly with Dhritarashtra as his personal assistant. Sanjay never thought that Dhritarashtra could perform any act without consulting him. But Dhritarashtra's going away from home was so confidential that it could not be disclosed even to Sanjay. Sanatan Goswami also cheated the keeper of the prison house while going away to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And similarly, Raghunath Das Goswami also cheated his priest and left home for good to satisfy the Lord. To satisfy the Lord, anything is good, for it is in relation with the Absolute Truth. We also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. I repeat that. We also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such transcendental fraud. Namah Shivaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kunaste Saraswati Deve Gurvani Pacharani Visesha Sunyavadi Pachacha Deshikara Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vata Di Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. So that's today's lesson. You can cheat for Krishna. Do I need say anything more? You carry on. Fraud and cheating. Actually, of course, there is discrimination as to the meaning of such statements. But ultimately, the highest morality is the satisfaction of the Lord. Look at the whole battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna himself questioned the morality of killing revered elders of the family, relatives, gurus, grandfathers, brothers, etc. There was a question of morality here. But the whole second chapter of Gita is dedicated where Krishna is convincing Arjuna to fight for a higher morality. The Lord was personally present, and it was his desire that the battle would be waged and the Pandus would become victorious. So, discrimination, application of intelligence and understanding is necessary. I don't know how apropos it is. When I first joined ISKCON, of course, we were a little raw R-A-W in those days. Our interpretation and application of such things, you could do anything for Krishna. It was the end of 1969, at 61 Second Avenue. That was the second storefront. After 21 Second Avenue, they moved to a slightly bigger place, even though it was small. And then up, it was on the first floor. So the first time I was told, the president, there were two co-presidents, Brahmananda Maharaj and Rishi Kumar Prabhu. And they told me to go on Sankirtan. I was not sure what is Sankirtan. But I had gone on chanting and distributing magazines, but he said, you'll go on Sankirtan. And they sent me with one devotee named Govardhan Prabhu, who later became president of the Detroit Temple. So they told me that understanding was there, you can do anything for Krishna. So the two of us went outside on 2nd Avenue, and the temple was upstairs. There was a laundromat two stairs down below the road level. So this Govardhan told me, you stand on the street, I will stand two steps down. Okay? Waiting for Sankirtan. He said, just wait. And then I saw, he pointed up the street, there was a man who was obviously drunk, was coming down the street, and he was a little wobbly, everything. And he told me, when he comes near the stairs, you bump into him towards the two steps down, and I will ask him for a donation. Okay? The drunk came, I kind of bumped him lightly towards the stairs. The Govardhan convinced him to give, not only convinced, helped him also to give a donation. I questioned the morality at that time. I still question it today. And he told me, you can do anything for Krishna. But that is not the meaning here. The morality of the battle of Kurukshetra and the morality here, where Dhritarashtra and Vidura and Gandhari left, is for the satisfaction of the Lord. That transcends all bounds of morality. Prabhupada also says here very interestingly, we also had the same opportunity to cheat the family members and leave home to engage in the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. What is, you know what that means, right? What? He left his family. He had an unmarried daughter. Bhakti Lata. Of course, later I had to spend more than 20 years of my life fighting in the court, some of them. But similarly, yes, Vidhi Pranipatena, Pariprashnena, Shevaya, Upadekshantite, Jnana, Jnanina, Tattva Darshanaha. If you want to learn the truth, you have to approach a bona fide spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service with humility, humbly unto him, Jnanina Tattva. And because he is a realized soul, Jnanina Tattva, Tadvini Paripatena, Pariprashnena, Shaira, Upadekshanti Te Jnanam, Jnanina Tattva, Darshinaha. Because he knows and has seen the truth, he can give you the truth. You have to have it to give it. If I want some money from you, if I ask for a lakh of rupees, if I ask Sachi Prabhu, Sachi Dulal Prabhu, I think I made the wrong choice. You have to have a lakh, you have to have many lakhs to be able to give one lakh. Similarly, the spiritual master has to be realized, tattva gyan, to give you gyan. Now let me ask you this. Today I observe the Aruti and you were all dancing very ecstatically, plus ecstatic plus, especially you. What's your name? Nari was leading the pack. What accounts for your enthusiasm? How you are so enthusiastic? Don't give me a manufactured answer. Don't. It doesn't even have to be philosophical. And practically answer.
Live in Lord.
Okay. What does that mean?
It means serving Lord and doing all the activities for Him.
See, in Bangalore, there are probably a minimum of 10,000 organizations that in some way claim or prophesize that the teaching of that particular organization is truth. Absolute truth, real truth, something beneficial. So, why here?
Because it gives pleasure. I think pleasure, that's why I dance.
And it's not much fun. So you can go to a discotheque and dance there also. People do feel pleasure in a discotheque. Do they not?
I think pleasure because I'm trying to give the pleasure to Lord. Because of that, I also feel pleasure. That's why I dance.
That's philosophy. But it's true. There's 10,000 organizations that profess the truth. Here also, you will come for the feast. Someone will speak and tell you it is truth. So, what do we do? I've sat in other organizations, but I've seen people are very much convinced, and their gurus or teachers speak, they listen with great awe and reverence, they accept every word as truth. I'm not passing a value judgment. It may or may not be truth, or partial truth, or fractional truth, or whatever. My question is, why here, as opposed to the other 9,999 organizations? Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Upadeshanti te jnanam jnanina sattva darshina. Jnanina sattva darshina. One who has real knowledge of truth, jnan, began as seeing the truth, he can give truth to you. Prabhupada always gave the example that if anybody's hands are bound, then your hands are also bound. Who can free each other? Only one whose hands are unbound. Now what's the next sloka? Yajgatva napuna moham evam yasyanti pandava. Yena bhutan yaseishani drashtas yatma yato mai. You know that? Tell what it means, Dhamma.
Yajgatva. Having approached the Bhagavad Gita Master, he will become free from illusion and be able to serve in Shadullah.
Young Jatva, see, is being explained clearly. Approach a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him, and because he knows the truth, and has seen the truth, and lived in truth, as you said, Naveen, lived in the Lord, lived in truth, he can give you truth. And the next shloka explains why. The next shloka in that fourth chapter explains what is the truth. Yajjatva, that knowledge, that truth, yajjatva, nahuna moham, by which you shall never again be subject to illusion. That knowledge, that's a heck of a set of knowledge. Yajjatva, nahuna moham, evam yajjati pandava, yena bhutan yaseishani, drashyam yatman yato mayi. Now, the truth is explained. What is that truth? Yajjatva, nahuna moham, evam yajjati pandava, yena bhutan yaseishani, drakshas yatman yatomai. Drakshas, to see. When you take the knowledge from the bona fide spiritual master and you become realized and you can see drakshas yatman yatomai, that I, Krishna speaking, that I am in everyone, and that everyone is in me. It's like a bit of a riddle, isn't it? What does that mean? I am in everyone. We know what that means. Krishna, sarvasya cha aham iti sannivishto, matta smriti jnanam apavanam cha. Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. So I am in the heart of everyone, but everyone is in him. We are all simply expanded from the energy of the Lord. So, by approaching, and now what do we mean? To make a long story short, I discussed this once before here. First of all, 10,000 organizations, you have to discriminate. How do you discriminate? With what? Buddhiyo, this is buddhiyo, intelligence. Krishna said that he's the form, intelligence, which we have mentioned here before. Intelligence is the form direction of the super soul. You read that in Srimad Bhagavatam. What does it mean? It means by purifying your intelligence, even slightly, and correct utilization of that intelligence, you can discriminate. Discrimination is very much a part of intelligence. Along with memory, knowledge, there is discrimination. Therefore, out of 10,000 different truth, so-called truth knowers, somehow or other, by some good fortune, one, after many, many births and many, many various endeavors, comes into contact with the bona fide spiritual master. What is the bona fide spiritual master? Someone who doesn't cheat you. Not this Canton that was cheating in Vishnu. But someone, you know, what is a cheater? I'll tell you another story. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, was in California, in Berkeley, which is a seat of Western learning. Berkeley University is a very cool university, arty farty. And all kinds of different subject matters are discussed there freely, whereas in some other places they're not. So Prabhupada was discussing with, I forget his name, one big professor from Berkeley University. And that fellow, the professor, was telling Prabhupada that he was proud of this fact, that when a new semester begins, then I tell my students, indeed I write it on the blackboard, that I know nothing. So he was proud, it's like an admission. I tell them, he was very honest, he writes it on the blackboard in chalk, I know nothing. Then Prabhupada immediately quit back, so why do you have to become a teacher? A teacher is one who possesses knowledge. And because he has real knowledge, he can impart that knowledge to others. So here is a professor. Of course, we know he had knowledge, whatever his subject was, be it biology or chemistry, whatever it may be. But it was very politically correct to say that I know nothing. But that is the diametrically opposed example of what a teacher should be. A guru should know everything. Just like Prabhupada said that, a guru should know everything, so someone asked him, can you fix an ambassador car engine? And Prabhupada said, yeah. For 2 rupees, I will call a mechanic. It doesn't mean directly you have to fix the engine. You have to get it done. Lazy intelligence. So, Sajjini Pranipasena Pariprasena Sheda Upadeksham Tite Jnanam Jnanina Sattvudarshina. When you know the truth, yes, get back. Nakuna Moham Evan Yas Yasipano Ye Bhutani Se Shani Drakshat Yatma Nyitomai. You have to see the truth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you have to fly the plane yourself. You have to go up yourself and knock on the door of self-realization. No one's going to hold your hand. However, you have to take instruction from a bona fide spiritual master. In that verse, in the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that Sadhvini Pranipasena, it says that simply study from books independently will not suffice. You have to satisfy the spiritual master. That is the test, Prabhupada says, given by the spiritual master. When you satisfy him, he will impart knowledge unto you. It's not a question of how many shlokas you can quote, or how many books you can read, though that is also essential. You have to satisfy the spiritual master. How? By submissive inquiry, not blind faith, submissive inquiry and humble service. Therefore, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is considered a branch of the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it affords a process, and this is the key that works. It is a working process of purification. Otherwise, take a choice, 1 out of 10,000, you could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Why am I here today? After I die, I go up, I see St. Peter. Then he says, I say, Hare Krishna. He says, no. You made a big mistake.
How do I know?
Of course, as a footnote, Lord Jesus was also a devotee of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. The point is, the process has to work. There has to be realization. From day one, you will get by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. You do get realization. I have realized that on day one I had realization. Not just knowledge. I was chanting Hare Krishna and I felt something. I don't know what it is. Rupa Goswami in Bhaktivedanta Sindhu Nectar of Devotion calls it flash of realization. It's like a, you know, if you've ever gone to a cinema, you'll see the coming attraction. By chanting Hare Krishna, there's also coming attractions. Only you cannot always sustain that consciousness. But from day one, there is began realization. Therefore, at 10,000 different organizations, by application of your intelligence, you should be able to discriminate where is truth. It may not be overnight, and pick out a bona fide spiritual master, render service unto him, and give submissive inquiry. Now, I can't always, I'm going to tell a few Prabhupada stories, but I can't always remember what I told where, how many times. So forgive me, but Rupa Goswami says there's no fault in repetition. My garland fell, maybe that's a confirmation, I don't know. Or maybe it's a chastisement, I don't know. In 1977, in Vrindavan, for the last 6 months of Prabhupada's presence, I had the good fortune to live with him 24/7. But since there already was a personal servant, Upendra, Kamal Krishna Maharaj called me the attendant, gave me a name. Now, I'll not go through the whole detail of it, but anyway, Upendra and I, Prabhu, would bathe Prabhupada daily in a tub, a khichdi tub. And we would divide the service. I would pour the first water. He would soap up Prabhupada. I would rinse with another sponge and I would dry. That day I forgot, we did everything, I forgot to bring the towel. And when I ran out, I saw Prabhupada, I said, oh, I'm sorry, but she forgot the towel. I ran top speed to his bedroom, which was outside the bathroom, close by. I came running back in with the towel. When I came back with the towel, Prabhupada with water and soap running down his face, little humorous picture in one sense. As I came over the threshold, he pointed to me and said, are you convinced? And this is what we're talking about. Conviction based on knowledge. Not blind faith. Application of intelligence. Discrimination to choose a process that works. A working process of purification. Intelligence and discrimination to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. Now, because I knew in my heart I was not 100% convinced in the real sense of the term, therefore, I immediately, as a reaction, lowered my head and I knew out of I don't know what it was, politically correct or pride. I had to say yes to Prabhupada that I wasn't prepared to say I'm not convinced. So I did say yes. But because I knew in my heart and mind it wasn't absolutely true, my voice cracked. So I lowered my head, I said yes, but it came out, yes! And then Upendra and Srila Prabhupada simply went hysterical laughing. All right. Drive. So, all these things are tied together. I get knowledge, I experience it, I become convinced. By becoming convinced, conviction, actually loving, that's why you're dancing like a madman. Because, to some degree, whatever it may be, you have become convinced that this there is here being given by Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara a process which is real. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Vatsava Vastu is a really real thing. Faith means I can apply my faith in a particular positive, in a particular place, because I know that I will achieve my goal by doing so. So we are very fortunate. I'm closing the book not because I'm ending, because I'm ending certain philosophical aspects and tell some stories. But through no credit of our own that I can ascertain, somehow we are here. Now, there's a devotee, a god brother of mine, his name is Ishan. He's a little eccentric, haven't seen him in years. But years ago, maybe in the end of 1972, beginning of 73, he and his wife were in Mayapur. There was only about 9 of us. Prabhupada told us not to drop below that number, it would not be safe. So, Ishan and his wife, Deepavati, they were there in Mayapur. And his wife, we were all close friends, there's only 9 of us in Mayapur, it was just a paddy field. Prabhupada, Bhajan, Kutir, and a foundation was beginning of the Lotus Building. Then Deepavati, his wife, told me the story how she became a devotee. She was in Hyde Ashbury, San Francisco. Those were in the late 60s, 68. And Prabhupada had already established a temple in San Francisco in that Hyde Ashbury. Well, it was the hippie days, you know, what you know of it. Like Prabhupada said, something, what is a hippie? He said, you know better than I, something extraordinary. So, she heard that this Indian guru is coming, and she wanted to go meet him and get enlightened. So, she went there, to the temple, they had a small temple, and at that time, you could just walk in, there was no much formality. And Prabhupada was in a room with Gargamuni. Prabhupada used to call him Gargamani. He was the first treasurer of ISKCON, and he was extremely frugal. He was cheap, to say the least. He was later the president of Calcutta also. And when I was a brahmacharya, I used to carry his bag and go making life members. He taught me how to do it. And Prabhupada was sitting with Garga Muni, who was the treasurer, going over the accounts of the temple. And Prabhupada was saying, Why they did not take a bus? Why taxi? How much is here? Why you gave so much? What is the balance? Now that girl came in the policy, and spiritual days, airy fairy, God consciousness. She comes in, she sees an old man with his spectacles on his nose, speaking to Bhagamuni, who was a little fat, and they were discussing money. Take a bus, not a taxi. What is the balance? What is the account? She walked in, she said, I want to see Swamiji, Bhaktivedanta. Then Bhagamuni said, yes, please, you just wait a few minutes. Prabhupada himself said, just please wait a few minutes. And he continued with Bhagamuni that when I gave you $500 and you're returning 300, 200 balance, and you're only accounting for $150 in deficit, then what is accounting? Is it? And they're going on for 5 minutes. Then the girl became very indignant. She came, after all, for spiritual guidance. She stood up and she looked at Prabhupada and Bhagamuni and she said, I came here to find truth. And she started to storm out. And Prabhupada said, hey, wait, sit down. You have come to the right place. So, you have also come to the right place. In fact, I remember the first time I ever went to an ISKCON temple in 1969, 61 Second Avenue. I've never seen anything like that before. I walked over to one of the roadie and I said, can you tell me what's going on here? And it was a lady. And she interpreted that in a very way I found very strange. She called over one other devotee, whom I never knew, he's a real character, Dr. John was his name. And he came up and he said, he's a very sincere boy asking sincere questions. I asked, what's going on here? And then Bhakti Chan immediately said that, okay, see, Krishna's God, he's blue, he pays us blue. He has a threefold bending form. There is 1,008 Lakshmi serving him. Sarali cows that give already warm, sweet milk. You know what it is? Someone who believed that on first time itself. I accepted it. I saw one day in Vrindavan, it was my job at night to sleep. In the summer it's very hot, so Prabhupada slept on the terrace. It was my job to sleep on a dhoti below his chokhi. Sometimes Prabhupada would get up in the night to translate. His health had not was still sufficient for translation. So if he woke up, he may wake up at 1 a.m. Little later, little earlier. And I would have already set up I don't know why in Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan, I want to ask him. Why they don't set up that terrace room like it used to be? Only the downstairs they have set up. But Prabhupada spends the summer at night upstairs and translating next to the terrace. From the terrace, you could see the temple shikas, and often there were monkeys up there. There was a little room next to that terrace where Prabhupada would translate at a desk and chair, and where we would set up a big sized mosquito net so he could translate undisturbed by the mosquitoes and other polka different things. So this night Prabhupada woke up. Instead it was exactly midnight, give or take 5-10 minutes. And when I saw Prabhupada moving up, it was also my duty to fix these big, the ballast pillows, those round, big ones, in such a way, yeah, these, but they were bigger, in such a way that Prabhupada could lean. And you have to have your timing correct, because Prabhupada would just get up and immediately start to go back. You have to have it there. If not,
it's a disaster.
So, we were trained to do that, and we had the pillows. Then he sat up, and he looked at me. I might have told this story before, but anyway, I wanted stories that had philosophical siddhanta in it. That's why I'm telling you. Prabhupada just did this. I came close as usual. And he just looked at me and said, why do you deny the existence of God? I think you might have heard it from him. Why do you deny the existence of God? Then I thought, some offense I might have made tonight or in the day, something I have said, something I have done to make Prabhupada react this way, I began to think what it was I had said or done to get such an intense reaction from Prabhupada, where practically I'm being told that I'm a Nasti, atheist. Why do you deny the existence of God? So, I was perplexed. But, in that instance, I thought, what if Prabhupada wants a philosophical challenge? Could that be the import of his statement? But then I thought, this is fractional seconds thinking. But if I'm wrong, then again, if I make some offense, because challenge means you have to speak little strongly against. Now, in Prabhupada's presence, to be strong or be against is a big decision. But I felt that I should challenge. So I had thought in my mind about an instance some years before when I had visited my family in New York. I was discussing with my brother, who was a big lawyer and staff talker. And when I was discussing something about Krishna consciousness with him, he immediately ended it by coming to a conclusion where he said, it comes down to faith. You have faith that there is God, and I don't have that faith. So it's just faith. He says, I'm not making any value judgment. You're my brother, I love you, I welcome you. But you have faith, and I have no such faith. So I thought of that. So I looked at Prabhupada, and before I could say anything, he said, so, why do you deny the existence of God? Now, the refrain became louder from Prabhupada. So I looked at Srila Prabhupada, and I said, Srila Prabhupada, it's simply a matter of faith. And I didn't say it as a pussycat. I said it like that. I said, Srila Prabhupada, it's simply a matter, it comes down to a matter of faith. You have faith that there is God, I have no such faith. Prabhupada looked at me and I was a little afraid. And he shook his head. He said, no. He said, faith, he said. The thief, the thorn. You know thorn, right? Thief. in the prison, has no faith in the government, yet he's beaten with shoes. Now, there's more to the story, but I'm going to break it up. Do you understand what he meant? The thief, I said faith. He said, the thief, the chore in the prison. He's been caught. He's been put in prison. But he has no faith in the government. Useless government. He doesn't recognize. No, what government? Useless. There is no government. He has no faith in the government, but still he's beaten with shoes. What does it mean? What did Prabhupada mean? Huh? Doesn't change what? What is the truth? I don't have faith in the government, but I'm in the government prison. I'm being maintained by the government, and here's the punchline. I'm being punished by the government. I'm being beaten with shoes. I'm being punished, but I say there's no government. I have terminal cancer. I'm being punished, but I say there's no government. Under the auspices of God, you're being maintained. And because of my nonsense, I'm being punished. And who is punishing me? I caught a snook. Like we say in Bengali, I have no faith in the government. So the atheist, somehow I understood immediately at that time. I think Prabhupada empowered me to understand at that moment. That is Gnostic. I was in someone's house and they were watching some geographical channel, National Geography or something. And they had a story of the most famous atheist, that lady in USA, what was her name? Anyway, she wrote a great book. She started the Atheistic Society of the United States. She has a big following. Being maintained by God, being punished by God, I say, you don't exist. Government, you don't exist. I'm in the prison. Okay? Therefore, then Prabhupada looked at me. This was purport. So, why do you deny the existence of God? Louder. Heavier. As if to say, in that case, why do you still deny the existence of God? So I thought for a few seconds. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, God, where is that God? Is he here right now? Is he standing here? I can't see him. No one can see him. In the whole world, where is he? If there's a God, can't see him. Therefore, he doesn't exist. So Prabhupada again looked at me and said, but you are controlled. So why do you deny the existence of God? So I said, Prabhupada said, are you not controlled? Now I have to be a little scientific, I cannot be a fool. I said, I can control something, But other things that can happen. So, yes, I am controlled. The Prophet said, so why do you deny the existence of God? Again, that's all he's saying. Nothing else. Except little, little. So I said, yes, I am being controlled. But not by God. By nature. And Prabhupada had a great look of disgust on his face. And he turned to me and said, nature, God, whatever you call it, he said, you are controlled, you are not controlled. Therefore, why do you deny the existence of God? So I said, yes, the name doesn't matter, maybe nature, maybe God, whatever you call it, okay, true problem. But, I said, there may be controller, but that controller is not a person. That controller is energy. Impersonal energy, not a person. Again, Prabhupada gave the same look, and he said that, tell me one thing, he said, you are speaking to me, and you are saying so many things. I would like to ask you, what is your authority? On what authority are you speaking to me here now? So I looked at Srila Prabhupada and I said several things, not actually things, more like stuttering. I said something to the effect that it is my opinion, something to the effect that regarding modern science, on such basis, then Prabhupada looked at me and he said that you have not quoted or you have not mentioned any authority, neither opinion, neither science, which changes from day to day. What is your authority? Then I realized my gig was up. I said that Srila Prabhupada, I cannot defeat you. He said, of course not. You know why? I said, why Srila Prabhupada? He said, because I am sane and you are mad. He closed his eyes and he started to go back. I pulled away the pillow gradually. That was it. He woke up, said, why do you deny the existence of God? Fell asleep on the end of the conversation. That was it. So, here, we're not dealing with every philosophy, Prabhupada said, you can find the fault. And if you're a preacher, if you're discussing with someone, Prabhupada said, you just isolate that fault and you went like this. And poosh. When he discussed with Christian theologians, you might have noted that there was always a reiterated refrain. What was it? That thou shalt not kill. So, why kill the cows? Do they not? Is our relationship not akin to that of mother who provides milk? He pushed that. With every philosophy, you can find defects. I ask you today, where is the defect in Bhagavad Gita? Rousseau, who was, remember on the back of Gita it was quoted, Thoreau, was it Rousseau also? Any David Thoreau, who wrote Walden Pond, and who wrote that, and also, who was the other one on the back of Gita, who in the old Gita it was quoted? Mahatma Gandhi also, and also I think maybe Rousseau, I can't remember who the other great Western philosophers. That was, and it was stated, whatever philosophical questions we have posed have been dealt with and disclosed long ago by Bhagavad Gita. This is perfect. Philosophy cannot be concocted or collected eclectically. You know, eclectic, something from here, something from there, and I make my own philosophy. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Dharma, truth and philosophy can only come how? Directly from God. If it comes from elsewhere, it must contain defect. So there's no harm. You are all intelligent, especially all your boys. To apply your intelligence and ask questions rigorously, with philosophical rigor, where is the defect in the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita? I'm a skeptic. I'm from New York. I'm not simply going to accept because on some sentimental basis. We have to be convinced on scientific rigor. This is the science of God. And that's why we're here today. And that's why Naveen, whether he knows it or not, is dancing like a total madman to him. Because, to some degree, we have become convinced that we have made the right connection from Vidhi Pranipatena to Srila Prabhupada and those who follow faithfully in his footsteps. And that that we are getting that knowledge by which we shall be free from illusion. In that, yesterday I mentioned that the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's Madhurya Kadambini. And there he said that by surrendering to the Lord, you get three things. They all begin with D. Love. D. One, devotion. Two, direct experience of the Lord. And three, detachment from all other things. It's very wonderful. Simply by surrendering to the Lord, even a little bit, yeyata maam prapajyante samsataiva kajanyam, proportionately. Krishna says he rewards us proportionately. So, even if you surrender a little bit, what do you get? A little devotion, a little direct experience of the Lord, and a little detachment from material things. We're convinced. Are you convinced? more now than then. So my voice doesn't crack. We can think because it's true. Truth has to stand up to rigor. Philosophically, scientifically, whatever. Fashionably, whether you say it's cool, like my daughter said, cool, it's cool, or it's not cool, I don't know. But I know one thing. Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada is cool. Yesterday I said he was smooth. Today I'm telling you, cool. Any questions? Loud, like me. I just realized what an amazing thing Prabhupada has done. He has trained us in such a way that we can say that in public, that we cannot be afraid of any question, confident that we can give the answer. Now, that's pretty far out. I hope.
It's not working.
That's how we know it's this time. If all the microphones work, it's one of the other 9,999 organizations. Yeah. I'm not a religion basher. Not just religions. Any school of thought, be it religious, be it scientific, be it philosophical. I just saved my skin.
My question was, I had one experience. In the neighboring temple, that is the Sri Vishnu Narayana.
You're talking about Vishnu. You want us to find a fault in Sri Vishnu? Then you have to sit down.
There is something for someone, and I just wanted to know that have they put audience or something. So I just asked that. So people became very irritated. So they said that we don't use audience or something. In fact, we don't even use potato. Because they said as if we are better than you, that we don't even use potato.
I guess they never tasted French fries then. Well, sorry to them. However, you know, these are very small. We have to think big. There was Prabhupada did a program. In South India, I can't remember where it was. Maybe in Andhra, maybe in Hyderabad. But there was one Reddy, a very big man that, I don't know if it was Paul Reddy. Paul Reddy. Who's Paul Reddy? Very wealthy man. I think it was his house. And all the devotees were seated for prasad. They made a big arrangement, fantastic program. And they served the Pali prasad, Prabhupada at the head of the table and all the devotees at the table. They served the prasad. Prabhupada began to eat, all the devotees began to eat. One devotee, Western devotee, sitting near to Prabhupada, said out loud, "Prabhupada, has onions in it?" Prabhupada said, "No, there is no onion. Take prasad." And they also prasad. Might have been little onion at that time. But there was at that moment a higher morality. There was some big discussions in terms of donations and building temple and so on. So that's not the point. Dharma to Sakshat Bhagavanath Vinitam doesn't mean, Prabhupada said, quote, ecology doesn't mean that by mistake I took a grain and I'll go to hell. So Prabhupada was very much a pragmatist. A man of the spiritual world, but yet a man of the world. Practical. Just like once, who told me, oh yes, he had a servant who was a friend of mine at that time, when that Kartikeya, he was a sannyasi at one point. Kartikeya Maharaj, he was a servant of Srila Prabhupada, but Prabhupada was in Hawaii. So, Prabhupada had taken some prasad, there was the maha, and there was only that little kitchen, there was nothing else except Prabhupada's small quarter. So, you're not supposed to eat in the kitchen, right? In this time, they can cut off 1 year if you eat in the kitchen. However, that fellow had nowhere else, so he took that maha prasad. Prabhupada walked in. Prabhupada walked in, and that fellow just totally freaked. You know, here's Prabhupada, and he was eating in the kitchen. He said, you know, Prabhupada, I'm very sorry, I know I'm not supposed to eat in the kitchen. He said, you just have to know from where it has come. Or the Guru Das and Jamuna on the train station in Surat, wherever it was. The devotees were hungry. So Prabhupada said, you purchase some samosa. Guru Das was very surprised. So he went over to the samosa wala and he purchased a bunch of samosas. And he brought it over, and in a little place there, he bowed down on the ground, and he said, now I'll start saying all the offering prayers. Prabhupada just picked him up physically. In public, no need. Just know that it is, everything belongs to Krishna. So very practical. I'm not saying we stop saying the offering prayer. I'm not saying we stop bowing down, but you know what I'm saying. Prabhupada was very practical. So if you go to a Vishnu temple, I think they were a little indignant because in such a temple there won't be any onion or garlic. So it was a little politically incorrect of you to add. But the fact that they don't eat potato, okay, it's a very small thing. Because potato is not the original Indian vegetable. However, Prabhupada said it's the king of the vegetables. You gradually, by preaching, you may get them to think this. Any other question? Loud. See, idiosyncrasies of friends, your wife, you live with a wife and family, God knows what are the idiosyncrasies. If you see every little fault and idiosyncrasy, there will be no relationship, cannot be. So friendship, love. Prabhupada even said, England with all thy faults I love thee. He quoted it. And he said, you can find fault in me, and I can find fault in you. In fact, there were devotees who even, being a personal servant is also has its drawbacks. You will interpret something as a fault. Oh, why did Prabhupada get sick? He's a pure devotee. So therefore, something is not correct. Even, who was it? Was it Krishna Das in the personal servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Isn't it? He was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they came across the gypsy. Even in the presence of the Lord, he fell down. He got attracted to a gypsy woman. In the purport, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, it all depends on the consciousness. You can even be with Krishna. If you're you can bathe in the Ganga, which is purified. But if your consciousness is contaminated, it's not that you're purified. So, consciousness is the key. And idiosyncrasies, never be small time. Relationship is more valuable.
Krishna Prabhu, when you go back to purifying our intentions, even slightly, By purifying our intelligence even slightly and utilizing that intelligence nicely, we get the power to discriminate. And by that, we will come to a bona fide.
Slightly. Power to this, anything slightly. If you're purified slightly, if your intelligence is purified slightly, and if you then discriminate slightly, it will be to that degree.
And by that, we will come, Krishna will direct us to a bona fide spiritual master. We have seen that in the tree of the God, that even after the purification, the intelligence gets bewildered by mind. It gets overcome by the mind. So, as you were talking about the conviction, and we have so much experience, many years in the past, Krishna consciousness, what it takes to gain that conviction? What it takes that?
Good question. That you're talking about someone who's already a devotee. And to some degree he becomes purified. To some degree his intelligence and senses are purified. To some degree his discrimination is augmented. And to some degree, yeah. In fact, in Nectar of Devotion, this is discussed, I think it's page 59, I'll tell you why I remember. In 1970, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but there were four sannyasis who came to New Vrindavan and had a philosophy, said Prabhupada is God. And you might have heard that in the history of Islam. And I remember page 59, Nectar of Devotion, was we were quoting. It was called Shadow Attachment. Anyway, Maya is very strong. And I would even go so far as to say that in the realm of Maya, Maya is supreme. In a sense, that ahamkar that I am this body is a universally accepted concept. We talked once about changing concepts. It's not easy to change that whole concept. It's not only theoretical, it comes from purified chanting of the holy names and from a proper
As we discussed that very Paripratchaya is a service and submissive inquiry. But Krishna consciousness is a gradual process. For so many lifetimes we've been immersed in the opposite, in bodily misidentification and sense gratification. It's not overnight, and not for no purpose. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that it may be very sweet to hear that in matters of dharma and religion there is no necessity of endeavor. But he says it is not true. It may be true of lower forms of religion, but not of the highest. So one has to endeavor, one has to pass the test of Guru and Krishna. And however, Krishna has forewarned. And yesterday I quoted it, again I'll quote it. Api chay sudaracharo bhajate maam ananyapa sado eva samantavya samya bhavatito visara. She from Bhavati Dharmatma Sarva Shanti Nigashtiti Kondayaka Vijani Name Bhakti Pranashi. What does that verse say? That a devotee may be seen or may commit an action which is what? Sinful, bad, not good, no. Abominable. However, if he is sincere and committed in the service of the Lord, what does Krishna God say? He is to be accepted as a saintly person. And in the next verse, very quickly will he regain righteousness. Declare it boldly, Arjuna, that my devotee shall never pass. So unless someone is not sincere, or a willful repeater of sinful activities, it may even be repetitive, he may be weak. We have to be very, very careful not to commit Vaishnava Aparadha. But in answer to your question, if I knock you down, get up again off the ground, dust yourself off, and don't stop chanting Hare Krishna and associating with devotees. It happens to everyone, one way or another, either known or unknown, either in your mind or explicit. This is a world where we are falling down already. So you have to, I tell you one thing in answer to your question, that you have to be convinced of one thing to begin with. That, and I can say if I have no other realization, I have this realization. That I do not believe by any material success or wealth or position or sense gratification that I'll become happy. It may feel good for a while, but I know, I'm convinced that if I go out and endeavor in that way, I'm going to be most unhappy and I'm going to have to end up right back here. I think if I hadn't become a devotee, I would become a devotee again. So, some knowledge is necessary, conviction, that by being the President of the United States or by being Anil Ambani and fighting my brother in the court, I'm not going to be happy. No matter how much wealth I have, no matter how beautiful a woman, someone may be, by her relationship, by money, like Prabhupada said, that Karni, he has a dollar sign in one eye and a woman in the other. From a bodily point of view, it's nice. If I'm in the body, then a beautiful woman and a lot of money, I accept. It's very nice. But the fact is that I'm not this body. Therefore, I have to look elsewhere and for much nicer things, which are in the realm of the soul. But at least you should be convinced that by other endeavor in the material world, in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, anyone who's fired up and enthusiastic about becoming materially successful in the 11th canto, Ekada Sanda Bhagavatam says that this condition is one of madness and insanity. Material enthusiasm, material success means it's madness. And I can expand on that, but I think it's time now. Temple authorities, right? Unless you take one more question if anyone has. And if I say anything wrong, fanatic, philosophically, from Siddhanta wrong, tell me. Convince me. If your philosophy is better, or perfect, and there's any defect here in Bhagavad Gita, tell us. We'll raise funds for you. We're willing. Like someone once told me in the hippie days in Woodstock, always keep the top of your head open. So, we're ready. But I cannot find a philosophy which gives those three things. Otherwise, we'll take shelter of it. Devotion, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from everything else. I don't mind, I can join any other religion right now. I'm ready. And I'll take Sati Dulal and his boys with me. But, find the defect and show us how your philosophy is right. That's the difference between 10,000 and the other 9,999. We're ready to be convinced otherwise. We're not fanatics. Prabhupada is not like fanatics. Hare Krishna.